I want to read to you from verses 13 and 14. When they were come in, I take that to mean when they were come into the city. They had been descending the slopes of Olivet, down into the Kidron Valley, and then ascending upwards to Jerusalem. When they were come in, they went into an upper room. They knew it well, where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. You notice that I'm reading slowly, because many a time when we're looking into God's word, we're reading far, far too quickly. And let every word sink in. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Keep our Bibles open. We'll ask for the help of the Lord just now. Lord, you know all about us. You know our weakness. You know how our hearts cry out for thee. Let them cry out with even more and more intensity these days. We have sung in the hymn, "Create soul thirst for thee." Lord, answer that prayer. Do a new thing. Lord, do a new thing for us. May we be like these men, these apostles of old. As soon as we come in, let's go to prayer. Let the stamp of God be on this meeting. Let the stamp of God be on our lives, every one of us. That it might be said of people in Lisburn, aye, and further afield, these all followed after the Lord. All of these people loved the Lord, loved the book, went on with God, went through with God. Lord, let there be nobody missing in the company. Let there be nobody lagging behind, not part of the assembly, not able to say we have both part and lot with Jesus Christ. Let us not miss out on this, Lord. Even for the Christian too. Lord, how possible it is in a gathering like this that there may be some, and we don't quite know what the problem is, but there may be some, Lord, and there is a degree of hesitation. Or there may be a barrier to fellowship. We do not know. Oh, Lord, we seek thee now. And grant that it may be said of this congregation truly, all of these all ventured on with God. Lord, hear prayer. We beseech thee, let it be the united cry of our hearts, Lord, that thou wilt look down from heaven, thy dwelling place, and answer prayer today meaningfully, Lord. Oh, let there be a change. Let there be a change, Lord. We'll even have to say a change we can't bring about ourselves, Lord, perhaps. In view of responsibility, we should have that accountability. But Lord, we know well our weakness, and we're saying, Lord, the psalmist prayed not only that They might turn unto the Lord, but that the Lord would turn them. And we pray today just the same prayer. Lord, turn us, we pray. Turn us, Lord. Turn us. Capture our hearts again. Our first love. Let there be no holding back, Lord. Defeat the devil in the world. Lord, the devil wants to get a hold of some of thy people. Maybe some young person. The devil wants to get a hold of that young life to destroy it, that they might make a shipwreck instead of following Christ to win the crown at the last. Lord, you know how the devil plans our downfall. And we pray today, if the devil has singled out this one or that one, or even a young person here, oh God, come in on a rescue mission. Hear prayer today. Speak to my soul, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have those words there in verse 13 and 14, to which I want you to give attention. You will know that this book is called The Acts of the Apostles with good reason, having a mind to the contents of this book. But we could go further in giving a title to the Acts of the Apostles. I could say with propriety, this book ought to be considered as the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. Because all the Acts of the Apostles themselves would have been nothing if it had not been for the mighty presence and power of the Holy Ghost operating then through His precious Word. And so, when we think of this wonderful book of the Bible, the book of Acts, let us think not just of the Acts of the Apostles, important as those Acts are, but let us, going further, say, these are the acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles and through the apostles. That is how we want to look at the chapter today. The work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. Well, in some sense as well, the book of Acts could be looked on as the book of prayer. Because if on those occasions, as you turn the page, you come to a testimony concerning the church of God, it is frequently that we find the church at prayer. Oh, what an absorbing study this is. The church of God. The church of God redeemed and chosen. The church of God at prayer. I did emphasize the words there in verse 13. When they were come in, these saints of God, when they were come in, they went to prayer. We surely cannot overlook that. The church at prayer. And throughout the book of Acts, we have prayers to take note of. Prayers of the church, prayers of individuals. I was thinking momentarily last night, the prayers of those two men in the jail at Philippi, Paul and Silas. When Paul and Silas prayed, the place was shaken. Just the two of them at prayer. Don't forget, when you're assembling with others, that it's an occasion for prayer. And even if it's only two of you in the car, you could seek the Lord's face and think of Paul and Silas in worse circumstances by far. No question. No question there. Oh, when Paul and Silas prayed, God heard, God answered in a marvelous way. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. There are then these pictures given by the inspiration of God, the Holy Ghost, of the church at prayer. The church, I say, at prayer. Then sometimes individuals that mentioned Paul and Silas. And then even one man, one person at prayer. And God would have us note in the book of Acts, this book, which is a chronicle of the work of the Spirit in the lives of God's people in days of old. Now, no mistake, chapter 1, there is the notification of a prayer meeting. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. You have to put the verses together, principally 13 and 14. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They had prayer in mind. Prayer didn't come about accidentally. They had it in mind when they got there. They were going to seek the Lord. When they were come in, then we went through the list of names. And we thought again with emphasis in verse 14, these all, the Lord's looking at every one of them. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. This is the first reference in the book of Acts to the gathering of the church. The first reference in the book of Acts to the assembling of the church. And they assembled for prayer. That's no coincidence. When you read over these words describing the first great prayer meeting in the book of Acts. Acts, the book of prayer, yes. Acts, the chronicle of the church at prayer, certainly. When you read this account of the church at prayer, and you remember, this is the first reference to the church in the book of Acts. And it's in connection with the prayer meeting. You have to link the church with the prayer meeting. You get the feel of the church when you have the feel of the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is the heart of the church. And so when we talk about the gathering together of the church and the first mention, that's important. The very first glimpse of the church. God is giving to you in the book of Acts a chapter that records details of Christ as the risen Savior, ascended up into glory, commissioning the church. The task now that lies ahead of them. But the first thing about the church is they continued in prayer. The reference to the prayer meeting. And this, in my opinion, sets the standard for the rest. The rest of the chapters that detail the activity of the church, especially the times of prayer that are singled out for attention by the Holy Spirit of God Himself. This one, being the first, sets the standard for the rest. It's a kind of pattern, then. A kind of pattern here for you to pay attention to. And you'll notice, who could have missed it? Verse 13, the list of names. Among the people attending, it's not the whole company, but these are the most prominent men in the work. That's why their names are given. They're apostles. They're the most prominent men in the church. And they're found at the hour of prayer. There are churches today, and they could be described as evangelical churches too. And the most prominent men are not always there at all. In fact, they're often missing. That's what it should be saying. But these all, that were all there. Now, you can't be 100%, so I don't want to be misunderstood. You're not 100% in attendance. That's just not possible. But what we are suggesting here is that every child of God following this pattern will attempt to be at least at one of the prayer meetings in the week. We have a number of prayer meetings. Get to the hour of prayer. Young person, get to the hour of prayer. Older person, get to the hour of prayer. Get to one of the prayer meetings, at least in the week. You may not be able to get to them all. Get to some of them. Listen, there may be a young Christian here today and you're saying, I want to go on with God. Tell me how, as a believer, I can best go on as a Christian. Well, you'll want to read the Word of God every day. You'll have to have a time, specially set aside for prayer every day to seek the Lord for His blessing on your life. Guard that time. Don't allow the world to creep in so that you've no time for the Bible, you've no time for prayer. I think there are some here today. The Lord seems to say that to me. There are some present now, and that's the description of your life just at this moment. You haven't had the time for the book. You haven't had the time for the Lord. And the world is getting in. The world is shutting Christ out. And so, today, God's speaking. God's speaking to you. You make the change now. You make the change today. You resolve now in God's presence to respond to His Word. Didn't we see in the reading how He came, He showed Himself, He stood in the midst, He assembled Himself with them. That's a lovely thought. And then He's speaking to them. You don't want to turn a deaf ear. You don't want to let that word go in one ear and out the other. Dreadful thing. A dreadful thing. But we have the notification in Acts chapter 1 regarding the first assembly of the church. And it's the church at prayer. It's the record of a prayer meeting. That's great. So we say the prayer meeting is the heart of the church. That's where you can make your evaluation of the church in relation to prayer. So what you have to do then as a Christian is to say, Lord, bless the prayer meeting. Some of you might not have done that here. You may not have thought to do it. You may not have said, Lord, bless the prayer meeting in this church. Well, I want you to start to do it. And if the Lord blesses the prayer meeting, this church will go on fire. You've got to say, Lord, bless the prayer meeting. Use the prayer meeting, Lord. Let's make the prayer meeting a burden in our hearts for prayer. That God will bless the prayer meetings of the church. And then, what changes will come about? I must move on. You see, these men here make up the apostles. We were acquainted with the 12, now it's the 11. And here in verse 13, that's what it is, the 11. They're all present, every one of them, on this occasion. And there's one missing, if we think of the 12. And that man is dead. His soul is in hell. Judas is missing. For sure he is. And Judas had blotted his copybook by treacherously betraying the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Man of Calvary. And Judas dashed out in the darkness of that awful night and took his life. He had sold his soul to the devil. And then he had to throw those ill-gotten gains away. He dashed them to the floor in fury. Imagine, he went to hell for money. Then at the last, he hurled it away as if every coin burned his hands. He never benefited by his ill-gotten gains. That's the thing. His money did him no good. He perished. He went to hell for nothing. And I suppose that sums up the life of every lost soul. That man who, or woman or child, that person who goes on life without Christ, it's a serious thing. Like Judas hearing the voice of the Lord and yet turning a deaf ear to the Savior. How terrible to read about Judas. This man went to hell. His name is missing. Look at the list in verse 13. His name's missing. Stroked out of the record. That man is lost. You could be among the best of men and still be lost. I don't know how to address you now. Having sat here Lord's Day after Lord's Day, I am glad that you have come to church. I'm delighted, in fact. I'm delighted you've been at the meetings. I trust they've done you good. Surely they have, I reason. Yet I'm troubled about you because you haven't sought the Lord yet. And I'm saying, look at this warning. A man whose name might have been there. He has perished in hell. That's dreadful. And if you look at verse 13 then, the names are there. God puts the names. And the Lord looks at the prayer meeting crowd in the church. And he has a list of their names. These all, the Lord could say. These all. See, if we just translate what we're reading here into situation at Lisburn, then for the prayer meeting, the Lord has a list. And he can say, these all. I'm not going to name names now, but I would love to just for the application of the message. Now, these all continued in prayer. Because that's the way it is here. In this first record, this first picture of the church assembling in the book of Acts chapter 1, now these all were a prayer. And Monday night doesn't suit you? Well, what about the Lord's Day? Morning time for prayer, the evening time for prayer. Squeeze in, get into the prayer meeting. Young person, you're saying, how can I go on with God? Read the Bible every day, but get to the prayer meeting and pray when you come. You may not pray openly, although that would be a good thing. Pray in your heart at least and cry to the Lord. You see, this is a public prayer meeting. These all continued in prayer, verse 14. This is a public meeting for prayer. And somebody will say, oh, I pray at home. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You certainly need to pray at home. Everybody needs to pray at home. But you have to be at the public prayer meeting too. It's the Lord's will, you see. Surely, I appeal to you, surely, the picture we've got in Acts chapter 1 demonstrates that. There's the gathering of the church. And we discover a gathering for prayer. The prayer meeting is so important, far more important than you know. Important to the church here, its activity, its very survival. The heart of the church. If you take any of us, the heart condition's important. And if the heart begins to give some trouble, we get alarmed. With good reason. Because the whole man is affected. And let it be so of the church, the heart of the church, the prayer meeting. You can say, Lord, bless the prayer meeting. We have to cry out to God for the prayer meeting. That it might continue. That it might continue with one accord. That it might continue as a place of supplication. That it might continue where God keeps the names. Isn't that good? The Lord keeps the names because this is a great prayer time. The Lord keeps the names. When we get to heaven and the record is opened one day, it might surprise you. The Lord says, now here's the chronicle of the prayer meeting at Lisburn, and here are the names. These all continued in prayer. You'd be glad then your name's on the list. You can say, I was there. Thank the Lord for that. Could we turn over to Matthew chapter 6? You'll have the marker in Acts because we're coming back to it. But I'll try to get through this as quickly as I can. You see, there is a place for private prayer. Yes, indeed, you have to pray at home. If you don't pray at home, you'll not pray in public very effectively. You could pray in public, sure, but you'll not pray with burden. You haven't been praying at home, so you have to pray at home for certain. All right, do you see Matthew 6? Matthew chapter 6. I'm turning up the place now, and it's the verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. It's nice to have a recognized place. Of course, you can pray in the living room. You can pray in the bedroom. You can pray any place. You can pray, ladies here or men, if they're ever in the kitchen, they could pray there too. But there's such a thing as getting a place where you sort of feel at home praying. And that would be described by the word closet. That place that you usually have recourse to when you pray. And when thou shut thy door, leave the gadgets behind. Leave the gadgets behind. You shut the door, you're in effect shutting the world out, shutting everything out. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's private prayer. That's praying at home. There is a place for prayer at home. But go on to verse 9. After this manner, pray ye. You notice the plural. Ye. Our Father. Notice the plural pronoun. Our Father. It's not my Father. You say, well, surely God is my Father. Yes, of course he is. But this is a prayer intended to be used collectively. It's in the plural. Our Father, which art in heaven. Because the picture now is not the believer praying at home, but praying with the assembly of God's people. And we read on, look at verse 11. Give us, it's not just give me. Yes, you could pray personally, give me, Lord, my daily bread. But it's give us. We're united. We're gathering with the people of God. This is not just the one person now. There has to be the public prayer, you see. And verse 12, and forgive us. It's not just forgive me. But yes, there's a need for that prayer. You have to pray yourself, Lord, forgive me. But unitedly, in the gathering of the saints of God, forgive us as we. There's the public prayer. You can't shut out the public prayer. You can't just say, I'm praying at home. Because I suspect in some cases if somebody say, I can pray at home, they never come to any one of the prayer meetings. You would suspect they're not praying at all. Because these men, let's go back to Acts, these men, when they were coming, they went up into the upper room. They began to pray. It's interesting. You see there that they continued. So this prayer meeting is remarkable. We're notified about it, that they continued in prayer. They didn't get through the one petition and say, Amen, Lord, thank you, I'm away. No, they continued. That would be true of their regular practice. They went on with God. They continued in prayer. The likelihood is, with some, is that they did so at a time. I wish that I could, just for application, single out some here when you say, I used to do that now. I used to read my Bible every day. I used to go to the prayer meetings. I used to testify. I used to give out tracts now and again. I used to witness for Christ. Used to. What has happened that you have stopped? I used to go to the prayer meeting, you know. Never missed it. You're not saying, I do go to the prayer meeting. You didn't continue. I say that not to pick you out. Certainly not to embarrass you. That's the last thing. But I say that to illustrate the point where all of us have to take this on board. That's the point the devil attacks us on. They get you so busy with something else, or so distressed, or so cast down, or so discouraged, whatever it is, you stopped. You didn't continue. You stopped. You used to pray. Dear friend, the Lord loves you. He cares for you. He has put your name in the list that you used to pray. You used to love the Lord. You used to do things for God. You're not the same now. How can we rectify that? Well, somebody says, well, I haven't the energies now I used to have. All right, well, you're not responsible for that. But even allowing for loss of energy, and you're not as young as you used to be, that time comes for all. Is there some way there that your heart can still be enthusiastic? Is there some way there that you're still going on? You're still going on with God, though you're not what you used to be. I said this morning, there another year. My anniversary has gone by ever so quickly. Wouldn't have noticed it. The fact is, if I look at my life, I'm thankful for what the Lord has done. I sang those words with intention today, for all the Lord has done for me. But really, I can't slide down the banisters anymore. That time has gone. So we recognize changes physically, but the heart should still be there. And in spirit, you're going on with God. That's important. You're continued. The Lord doesn't want you running to the world. The Lord doesn't want the world to get a hold of you. And you're in danger. You are in danger. I want to look in all directions, right, left, and up there in the gallery. The Lord has intentions of singling you out for His work. And then on the other hand, the devil has intentions of singling you out that you might make a shipwreck of your life. So you have to go on with God. What a lesson that is. Look at Acts chapter 2. You've got the witness there, Acts chapter 2. When God sent revival at Pentecost, the first thing, 3,000 people were saved, verse 41 of Acts 2. So the next page, from where you are, God sent revival. Are these things connected, chapter 1 to chapter 2? Men at prayer. The first thing with them is to get a hold of God, prayer and supplication, and they continued with one accord. Is there a connection? I believe there is. God sent revival. God stirred their hearts. God blessed them. And we look at the whole section there, verse 41. Young converts, then they that gladly received His word. Have you done that? That's the first thing. In being a Christian, you gladly receive His word. Then the second thing, they were baptized. They openly confessed Christ. They were baptized meaningfully. They were baptized so that others might know where they stood. They were baptized because their stand for Christ was clean cut. There's nothing like when you come to the Lord, stepping right out on the promise and cutting your ties with the past. Step out on the promise. Baptism for them meant something. It cost them. They testified in this way that now their lives were changed forever. Hallelujah. And then they were added. That means to me they were added to the church. They just didn't come become believers and scatter to the winds. Well, they were added to the church. They got into the church. And then you see again how verse 42 says, they continued. Oh, back to that word. We're back to that word. God takes a note of it. They continued. They went on. They didn't go back. They went on. They continued steadfastly. Oh, who am I speaking to now? Has your life been so up and down? I suppose all of our lives are up and down in a way. But there's a danger if you go so far in that up and down life, you lose touch with the Lord, you get out of fellowship. And are there some today you truly believe, you love the Lord, you know it, the Lord has saved you, and you thank Him for it, but you're not in the fellowship? Why is that? Because you'll see it here in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You should know why you are a Free Presbyterian. It should mean something to you. You believe in the doctrine, the Word of God. You come here because you believe in it. It's not just willy-nilly running to the world. But furthermore, fellowship. We have touched on that. You could sit in the church and be out of fellowship. You could be out of fellowship with God. And that's sad. And what has occurred in your life to knock you out of fellowship? You see, they continued in the fellowship. And the devil doesn't want you to be in fellowship with the Lord and God's people. And then there's the breaking of bread. That would be communion. And they continued in that. They got to the Lord's table. And don't be in such a hurry when we get to communion Sunday, you have to dash for the door. If you miss your dinner, well, it'll do you no harm. Some among us wouldn't do a bit of harm if you missed two or three dinners. And on the Lord's day, and we gather around the table, they continued in the fellowship and the breaking of bread. And, well, what's the last word? Hey, what's the last word in verse 42? And in prayers. That's public. All these words here relate to the public assembly. And in prayers. They were at the prayer meeting. Lovely to see a young person saved and getting to the prayer meeting. That's what we want at prayer. When they came in, they went to prayer. That was it. And fear, reverence, godly reverence. You see, the church is not a public hall. You mustn't lose sight of that. The church is the house of God. And you have to know you're in God's house, you see. And that reverence was there. And great wonders and signs were done, and all that believed were together. I am hurrying. Verse 46, and they continuing. You see, we're back to that. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Breaking bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, not complaining, but rejoicing. And lovely in verse 47. It's lovely. Praising God. When you're going through the door this morning, go out praising God. For the Lord's worthy. Having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. You see, they got into membership. The Lord added them to the church. They got into the membership. They were in the fellowship of God's people. And the Lord added them. That's better than for me or you to add somebody. That's better by far. The Lord added them. Such as should be saved. And every day that went on, the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Oh, we're thankful today for all the Lord has done for us. There's a great deal in the chapter there, even in the portion. And we would say, Lord, hear prayer and help us as soon as we come in, just to think we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to seek the Lord.